You're listening to the audio program Host and Guest, hosted by me, Rick Katchke. Now here's myself, Rick Katchke. Hello, welcome to Host and Guest. I'm your host, Rick Katchke. Episode 23 of the show. Instead of the originally planned tribute to Michael Jordan, today we are joined by guest Yves Barzelay of the band Clem Snide. We'll have that interview in just a moment. I have been immensely busy with work the past few weeks, so it's very unfortunate that I've missed almost all of the NCAA basketball tournament. The first 2 days of the tournament are probably two of my favorite sporting days of the year, and it's really a shame that I've missed out on it this year. Last year, actually, I was working for the Bucks, and they had a big pool where you could have like two brackets, so I did one for myself. And then under my name, I did one for my girlfriend, Lee. And her pick, she ended up getting second place against all these people who work in professional basketball. But I paid the money, so I was going to collect on the sum, the $100 sum. And the day that I was going to pick up the money, the day after the tournament, I ended up getting my first speeding ticket, which was approximately $100. So it sort of canceled each other out. Before that, there was a local radio contest a few years ago where you called in before the tournament and they assigned you a team. And I was given the team George Mason, which I'd never heard of, and they were a huge underdog. And they ended up making like this miracle run to the Final Four. And I'd only half paid attention to the radio contest, so I didn't even know what the grand prize was. But then like the week before, like leading up to the Final Four, I was just calling them nonstop, like, okay, now what would I get again? Now how does it work? And it's only appropriate that I lost because I was being way too cocky for someone who had such a low-seeded team winning it all. We'll have the interview with Yves Barzelay of Clem Snide in just a moment. My guest on today's program is Yves Barzelay of the band Clem Snide. Yves released his second solo album, Lose Big, last year, and Clem Snide recently released their sixth album, Hungry Bird, back in February. I spoke to Yves before a Clem Snide show in Madison, Wisconsin. All right, welcome to another edition of Host and Guest. Today I'm joined by Yves Barzelay of Clem Snide. Yves, thank you for joining me on the program.
You're welcome.
Now, you just released the sixth album by Clem Snide, yeah. Hungry Bird. It took a little while for it to come out. Would you mind explaining what happened behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes? You don't want to see behind the curtain. It'll never be the same again. Well, you know, man, it's, you know, Clem Snide was going pretty good, but things were starting to kind of, you know, not go so well. I mean, the label was going under, and we weren't happy with our manager and the booking. You know, things just weren't. And then within the band, it was getting tough too because, you know, we're all a little bit older, and like I have, you know, kids, and you know, people were. It was just tough. You know, I think the pressure of trying to do it, and we never really made that much money, you know, certainly not enough money for, like, everyone to quit their day job and just devote themselves to it.
Sure.
So it just, you know, so then we tried to make, so we were like, oh, well, let's make this, like, enormous record, you know, let's make, like, Dark Side of the Moon or something. You know, I was thinking, like, very ambitiously, you know. And so we set about to make this kind of epic, you know, sort of conceptual record. It sort of we hit the wall, you know, everything sort of came to a head during the making of that record, and so you know, we, like, I had a falling out with Pete, the guitar player, you know, over, I mean, it's hard to, like, really explain it all, you know, I've known him for a long time and there are lots of things involved, but basically, you know, we kind of hit the wall, and the record was unfinished, and,
sure,
and I wasn't sure what to do with it. And I was funding the record myself because, like, at this point, we didn't really have a label,
right?
You know, because our label had gone under, Spin Art, and our European label too is, like, going under. You know, it was bad. It was a bad time. I always like get in on this industry right when like bad things are happening. You know, every time I'm about to do something, like bad trends are occurring. But anyway, but so then I got this gig working on Rocket Science, doing the score for this movie called Rocket Science.
Certainly.
And I did a lot of that at the same studio where I made Hungry Bird, with this guy named Mark Nevers. He's got a house there in Nashville. I like working with him, and you know. So we rounded up these musicians for the score. This guy, Tony, and played accordion and piano, and was like just an amazing musician, you know, just like a session guy in Nashville.
Sure.
Like older dude, plays with like Willie Nelson. And so he came in because he was like the only accordion player we could find in Nashville. I didn't even know, you know, that he played piano or anything. And then we brought this trombone player, Roy Agee. And so the three of us and Ben Martin, also who played drums on the record, so we got together and did a lot of the music for the score. And then while we were working on the score, you know, like kind of after hours, we're like, well, let's maybe add some stuff to this unfinished Clem Snod record. So we just started throwing like accordion on here and some trombone, you know, some horns and stuff. And then I, you know, I added some more stuff, and eventually I just kind of finished it, you know. I just kind of mixed it, and I liked how it felt. And then, even after that, I mean, it's been like 3 years. Like it sort of just sat there for 3 years, aging beautifully, like fine wine.
How did you end up getting the gig doing the score for Rocket Science?
Rocket Science. Well, the writer director Jeffrey Blitz, huge Clem Snod fan. Apparently, while he was writing the script, Clem Snod was playing in the background constantly. So originally they contacted us about just using some songs.
Sure.
You know, because I'd never done any kind of scoring. I really had no idea how that even worked. But somehow I like kind of lied my way into the gig, and I'm like, sure, I'll make some music
scores.
For you. Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, let's do it. It'll be great. And it worked out. You know, I had a really great time doing it, and it came out really good. So. Yeah, so it all kind of worked out pretty well. And then the movie came out right at the same time Superbad did, and totally died at the box office. So I didn't quite launch my film scoring career to the extent that I'd hoped, but no, it's cool.
Now, Clem Snod is kind of synonymous with Yves Barzelay. What would you say the major differences are between being in the band Clem Snod or your solo albums under the name Yves Barzelay?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how to answer that. People have been asking me that question. Well, the two Yves Barzelay records that I made were sort of made in like a different, you know, it's like a different kind of scene, you know what I'm saying? Like every record I've made has been a Clem Snod record. It's always been roughly the same group of dudes, you know, kind of. So this was, like when I made Bitter Honey, which was just me, you know, that was easy enough to sort of separate from Clem Snod because it was all just me.
Sure.
And then when I did Lose Big was kind of meant to just be like a continuation of Bitter Honey, you know. But then, and I did both those records with Joe Costa, who's an engineer, and at Ben Folds' studio.
Okay.
Ben Folds is real good to me, and he lets me use his studio.
Yeah, and you've toured with Ben Folds before.
Yeah. Takes me on tour with him a bunch, so it was more about that, like, oh, I had this great studio and this engineer, and so what can I do with that? And so, you know, so like, yeah, Bitter Honey, I didn't feel right to just call that a Clem Snod record, and I wanted to try to get away from Clem Snod too, you know. I wanted to just see how people would respond to me as just Yves Barzelay. I don't know what I've learned from my experiments, you know. I can't tell you. But right now, I mean, it feels really good. Like Brendan and Ben, you know, I mean, the people that I play music with are the people from Clem Snod. You know,
sure.
Like, that's kind of my band. You know, that's when I need to play music, I go to those guys. And I'm not, like, sort of always out looking for different people to play with. It was, maybe I was earlier. I shouldn't say that. But right now, you know, I hope I don't appear to be too... my infidelity or something, you know, adulterous kind of behavior. No, but right now it feels great. It does. I mean, it's like we've kind of whittled Clem Snod down to like this gnarly little kind of knot, you know, and this little core sort of And it feels good. It's kind of, in a way, we were just talking about it. In a way, it's also kind of gone back to the very original Klempsnod, which started in Boston in 1991, if you can believe that, when I was really young, you know. And back then, it was like really, it was very punk rock. I mean, it was just like, it was all about just screaming into the mic and just playing like the gnarliest sounds you could come up with. So we've, like, I mean, it's not like that now, yeah, but, you know,
you
but there's
into a
little
punk rock trio.
Yeah, you can never go back, you know, but it's got some of that kind of energy back to it, you know, I mean, which is cool, you know. Usually Klempsnod, I think, are known for their, you know, everything's kind of slow and quiet and mellow. I mean, it's always kind of been about the words, you know. We're kind of a words band, ultimately, you know. I mean, everything, like, that's always...
You don't
that's
need
how,
the music.
How, yeah, really. I mean, that's how I approached it. I was just like, let somebody else just come up with some cool sounds, you know. I got these words and, like, a couple chords on the guitar, you know. I mean, it's always kind of been its starting point, you know. That hasn't changed, so...
Now, how many different incarnations of Klempsnod has there been?
Man, well, there was the original, which was me, Eric, Paul, and Jason Glasser. Jason Glasser playing bass. So strangely enough, the way that it is right now is very close to the way it was at the very beginning. And back then, it was like we kind of sounded like the Lemonheads, if you can imagine. I'd only written like 4 songs, you know. I was like 20, so it was, you know, we were kind of young. And then we added a sax player, and then we kind of started moving into like this much more sort of free form, like noise. You know, kind of shronky noise, like, I don't even know what it was. So this is like early 90s, so that was the second incarnation. That broke up, and then me and Jason moved to Brooklyn, or moved to New York. We lived in New York, it's like the mid-90s, and then we had it as me, Jason. Now Jason was playing cello. Now we had gone all acoustic. We had sort of gone like the polar opposite of what we had been. So it was me on acoustic guitar. He played cello, and we had this guy that we'd known from Boston who had also moved to New York to play upright bass. So it was cello, upright bass, and acoustic guitar. And we didn't even have amps. We would take the subway to gigs, and we would just show up with our instruments, and they'd mic the instruments.
Let's go.
And it sounded horrible. It was, like, really bad. You know, it was very rough, you know, playing these, like, nasty little rock clubs with, like, a cello and an upright bass, trying to mic it. You know, it was bad. So then we kind of worked up from there, and then we added the drummer, you know, and then Jason started playing more like keyboards and samples, and then that's around that point we made Your Favorite Music and Ghost of Fashion with those people. Mm-hmm. Ghost of Fashion, we also added Pete, the guitar player. And then Jason got his French girlfriend pregnant and had to move to France, so we lost him. So then Pete kind of took over for his role. So then it was me, Pete, Jeff and Eric, and then Jeff was too much of a crazy alcoholic, and he had to leave the band. And then Brendan took over for him, so that we lost the upright bass and we got the electric bass. And that brings us up to the future where we lost Pete. Now Pete is gone, so
no French girlfriend involved.
And we lost our drummer too, Eric. Eric was the original drummer who rejoined the band like around Ghost of Fashion time. So he was like one of the OGs of Klempsnod. But then he couldn't really tour either. So we replaced him with Ben, who lives in Nashville, because I moved to Nashville. It's very, wow, I can't believe I just gave you that whole, anybody be even remotely interested in that incredibly complicated, convoluted chronology. Ooh, there's some alliteration for you right there.
Now, you've recorded 8 albums total. Has there been
At least,
a favorite song of yours that you've recorded?
Wow, man.
Or is there a favorite song you haven't recorded?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that. You know, I don't like. Once I make a record, and once it comes out, like I never listen to it again. I try not to. You know,
sure.
It's like I really, like right up until the moment it comes out, I listen to it obsessively. It's weird. Like I can't stop listening to it. You know, I don't even want to listen to it, but I'm like I have to listen to it, like from start to finish, like really loud. I get really high too. I need to be high too when I listen to it, or else it doesn't sound right. And then. And then once it comes out, though, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to ever hear it again. I hate it. You know, I regret never making it.
And then you go out and perform songs, right?
Well, that's different, though. You know, playing them is like some kind of weird form of redemption where you get to, like, reclaim the song and really make it your own. And then I just start thinking about the next one. You know, always looking ahead. So I don't know. I think there's just like there's definitely been some like magic moments, I think, for me, you know, like in the studio over the years. Like Bread on Your Favorite Music was a good moment, and like, you know, Ghost of Fashion, I can't think of anything. Chinese Baby, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's hard to pick one. I mean, sure. I really couldn't tell you, like, I prefer one kind of thing over another. You know?
Now, every week on the show, we always ask for some recommendations.
Mm.
So first of all, an album recommendation that isn't Hungry Bird, but based on what you just said, I don't think you would recommend Hungry Bird.
I mean, like one of my other records or just a record by anybody?
A record by anybody.
Yeah. Record by anybody. Man, I don't know. I don't know who I listen to. You know, I've been really into this woman. She's the queen of Tejano music, and she recently died, or she died a while back. She goes way back. You know, you have recordings of her from like the 40s. Her name is Lydia Mendoza, and she's just sings, you know, in Spanish with this big guitar, and you can find a bunch of her records on iTunes. I couldn't point one out in particular. You know, there's like a ton of them, but yeah, I've been listening a lot to her. I like listening to kind of music that, you know, like from other countries and stuff. I've been kind of into that, you know, music that's just not, that's like in another kind of world,
sure,
you know, than what I do. I've been into her, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as like new music, I really like that Lil Wings record that came out a few years ago. We would listen to that a lot over the summer. Yeah, I don't know.
Now, also a film recommendation that isn't rocket science.
Film recommendation. Oh, man.
Or one of the other films that you've scored.
Yeah. I did one other one, but it never came out. The score was good. They liked the score, I think. The Outlaw Josie Wales. It's my favorite movie. Clint Eastwood. Yeah. I recommend that movie. That's my film of choice for your listeners.
Now, what's next for Clem Snide / Eef Barzelay?
Well, we're going, we got some more touring to do. You know, we're heading out west, which is cool. Then we're going to Europe. We're going to Spain. We do well in Spain, which is really nice. You know, I've been to Spain like at least twice a year the last few years. So we're going to Spain. Then we're doing some shows in Germany with Bob Mould. We're opening for Bob Mould, which is great. And then we should be done by like the middle of May. And I mean, I would like to start making another Clem Snide record. You know, if we can just keep this whole crazy dream going, have another record out, like, you know, around this time next year.
Excellent.
And do it all again, man. Do it all again in the 010.
Come back on Host and Guest.
Yeah. Like before and after. You see how a year of touring has ravaged my once youthful looks.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
Man, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks again to Eef for joining me on the program. I highly recommend all things Eef Barzelay / Clem Snide related. But if I had to absolutely recommend one, I would highly suggest you check out their album Soft Spot. Our theme song is done by Tiny Folk. You can listen to all of his music at CLLCT.com. Just search for Tiny Folk, all one word. I've been your host, Rick Hatchke. Michael Jordan was a wonderful basketball player, and his number was 23, just like this episode of Host and Guest. Sand,